Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. I'm Rob Seltzer, and much like Eberechi Eze, we are ready for the season to start. Joining me today, a guest, Tony King. Not a guest, but a guest. Great to have you on board, Tony. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thanks. I was forced on here. I thought everyone was pulling out, so I felt obliged to come, and it's all a big ruse. You're all here, but
we're going to be doing this every. We're going to do this every pod now to get you on. So that's it, you're in.
I like it.
Also down in sunny Victoria, Ned Rock. How are you, Ned?
Yeah, not too bad. Can't complain. Ready for the season to start. And nothing nasty to say about you to start with, Rob.
We'll start on
a positive.
If there was literally anyone who could complain, it would probably be you. So that's pretty good.
It's a skill, though. Wait for your introduction before you go and start smacking off, please.
New year, new me, mate.
those tones are the dulcet tones of Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
Good, thank you very much. How's everyone else?
We are well, and a man that's had one of the most adventurous, probably half hours you could ever possibly want to believe. A man that's half his soul was left in Melbourne, the other half was left in Perth. A man that put in so much effort for the podcast, we can say no more much about him. Marky Werner, how are you, mate? Has the bumhole stopped twitching?
I'm spreading myself thin, Rob. Put it that way. I'm good, mate. All good. Just about back on deck from the pre-season tour that involved Melbourne and Perth. My liver's nowhere near recovered, but that's fine. Fine and fit, mate. Back in the groove, coming to you live from the ute in my high viz because I haven't made it home from work yet. And had a few other speed bumps along the way, but mate, she's all good. Waiting for the season to start and we go again.
Beautiful, beautiful. My mate, that your performance on the booze and off the booze was quite immense. I think you took home the prize for best podcaster and best tourist. I mean, I don't know how many. Yeah, I don't know how many people fell asleep in a shop doorway till 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning in Melbourne to follow it up to go to a brewery on the Sunday, then be in the casino with me on the Monday till 4:30 in the morning. And very good effort, mate. Well done.
Thank you, mate. Look, I never set out to do these things. And I had that very conversation with Tony. I had a quiet chat myself on the plane on the way down. I thought, now, you know, you've had a good run last time. Just keep it under wraps and, go with the flow. And then, 10 days later, that went out the window. But
10 days later, only meant to be 5. It was 10.
I had a few geographical mishaps in Melbourne. Couldn't quite get my head around the lie of the land. But, mate, thankfully, I trusted in the kindness of strangers and, we're all friends at the end of the day, and no one got hurt. That's the main thing, Rob. So
that
was good time, and just happy to do what I could, where I could, and contribute to the pod and the tour, and just knock about with you blokes. So it was awesome, man. Good times.
And contribute you did, and I must congratulate all of us. For the first time ever, we were all together in the one spot, and we didn't get any audio of all five of us together. That is a fine effort by the five of us. Well done. Well done, one and all.
Unbelievable. Didn't even cross my mind. That's how committed I am.
Not even a photo.
I personally blame Dale for swanning in and out as quickly as humanly possible.
I was there longer than Seltzer.
Yeah, I reckon
Seltzer was far behind. Or in front.
To be fair, I burnt the midnight oil a couple of times.
Yeah, I think the difference was that Rob actually stayed as a part of the group for most of the time he was there. As opposed to a certain D. Quarty who just was off swanning around with the players because he didn't want to didn't want to have a bar of us plebs. He was too busy hanging around with Jordan Ayew and his various friends in the Palace squad.
How about that for an allegiance? Seltzer and Rock. You didn't see that coming for the new season.
new season, new alliances, Rob.
Holy shit, I'm nervous.
So didn't we just get this right? On a podcast about Crystal Palace, I'm getting put out to dry for hanging out with Crystal Palace.
Correct.
Cool. Okay, just checking.
Yeah, correct. Move on.
Excellent. Well, look, I think it'd be remiss of us to not touch on the very sad news from yesterday before we start. Andres Rubin's passed away at the age of 43. It's no age. It's a horrible thing to see. That obviously, I'm sure everyone saw the videos going around yesterday of that, how Witzel that he scored against Liverpool in the cup. I believe, was that the game that Clinton Morrison said he was better than Michael Owen? We won 2-1, so everyone's like, yeah. And so we won 2-1, Morrison scored, and everyone's like, oh, maybe he's better than Michael Owen. And then we went and came second in the second leg by about 5-0. And that was that put that to bed. But yeah, thoughts goes out to everyone involved with the Rubens family. That's a horrible news. So not a nice way to start, but I thought we should touch on it just to get going. But let's move on. Let's move on to much brighter and happier things. I know we did a mess. We put out the podcast for the, well, Mark basically put out the podcast for the meetup, but I would just want to say thank you again to Tony and Ned that are both on it for all the work you guys did. It was a superb event, I reckon. How many people do you reckon we had in the pub on Tuesday before the game? What, there got to be
300 plus. It's 270, they said, was capacity, and it was definitely over capacity.
Yeah.
And there was a queue down the block, which Ned was in, couldn't even get into his own party.
That's all right. We got rid of the queue, Tony. We got rid of it quite quickly.
Because I
like the fact that you came and fetched me and said, "Oi, let him in." And I think the people behind me must have got a little bit antsy that I'd wandered into the front, and old matey just decided, "I can't be bothered with the trouble. You can all come in.
Just come in, sort it."
So all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
It was a superb event, and quite obviously our biggest ever national meetup. Obviously, Palace being over would have brought out some of the guys that probably wouldn't have come anyway. But now the bar has been set, so we expect to see all of you at the next meetup next year. So no excuses. David's shaking his head already.
They exist. We have to now sort of semi consider being nice to saying nice things about Adelaide now that they might actually listen and be a part of things. Well, welcome. We've never said anything horrible, ever.
I'll just see if I'm allowed to come. Hey, hun, can we go to the next national meetup in Adelaide? We can go via the Barossa Valley.
There you go.
See?
Works for everybody.
But it was a great time. Great time had by all. It was really, really well done. Lots of events, lots of panels. I think the club came to the fore. Like obviously, Chris Grierson giving his time, giving you a great interview, Tony. Great interview you did with him.
I just want to say that thanks to Matt Franks for sorting all that out. I've got no idea if I'll ever listen, but he was
dedicated listener now, Tony.
I'm sure he is. He sorted out the Joel Ward interview and the players coming down to the pub and all that kind of stuff. So thanks to him, man. He did a great job. I was a bit worried in that pub actually when the people started piling in. It got a little bit crowded, a little bit hot and sweaty. Me and Dale were on like crowd control trying to make Mark Bright didn't get swamped, and then turned into a COVID super spreader event as well. So I was a bit worried when I saw a couple of the names weren't on the team sheet in Perth. I was like, oh god,
what have we done?
I think they were right.
Can I just ask a question? Where do we reckon the Joel Ward Award is?
In his bag. He hasn't come out of his bag, mate.
You reckon it got into his bag?
It is front and center of his trophy cabinet at home. Let's be honest. How many awards has Joel Ward won in his career?
Okay, I'll tell you what, Ned. Let's go down to the Crown in Melbourne and ask at Lost Property if there's like an award sat in there. I bet you there is.
I think they're being a bit disrespectful to you here, Mark.
I would have thought it would be nestled on his spare pillow next to his own, which he wakes up to and probably polishes, every other day or something. It was knocking around though, because I was stoked it just didn't go in the bin in the change room, and then it definitely made it back to the team hotel, and I quizzed Scotty Banks about it over in Perth, and he said it was still knocking about, and all the boys got a good rise out of it. So I think it was received in the spirit that it was supposed to be given, and less than 24 hours after receiving it, he starts banging in goals against Man U for fun. So whatever, make of that what you will.
He wasn't at fault for the two United goals, though. Just saying.
Well, I'm just going on what people told me, because obviously I wasn't there to see it. But Fucking hell.
So
timing.
Good.
It's all about timing, guys.
That's it. All right. So brilliant event. Well done, everyone. Great to see so many Palace down there. We certainly outsung United. I mean, it was we made our presence felt. Well done, Tony, Ned, and everyone over in Perth as well. And I think we can probably put a line under that now. Well done.
Before we jog on, if we're just talking all things Tour Down Under, give Perth a shout. Obviously, the second leg was over there that myself and Tony made it over to. And then, you know, man on the ground over there, Colin, who looked after proceedings and also was busy and had a fair bit to do sorting out Leaderville Hotel, Parrish and Bridie. Made an appearance there for a very insightful chat, well over an hour. They're very accommodating. Took a whole bunch of questions in the Q&A. Third Kit was had a live reveal over there as well. Posted photos with everybody. And, yeah, unfortunately, from the Super Spreader event, some numbers did start to thin by the time we headed west. For old Gerdo, I think he's still in his hotel room over there in quarantine. So yeah, you know, much like Mel, bit of a different vibe. Obviously not as many travelled, but it still was cool to get amongst it and see the boys go around. I actually saw the goal that we managed to score in that game, so that was a plus. And yeah, didn't lose that with, after a very contentious penalty. That never was. It was given to Leeds and Jag won all. But yeah, it was pretty cool to get over there and round out the tour with the boys. And obviously, yeah, got a little bit of audio with Scott Banks at the pub and Rob Street post game and a
good
few
interview
of the boys.
Rob Street. That was a good interview, Rob Street.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you, man. Yeah, thankfully his surname was on the back of his shirt. Otherwise, I would have had to leave with. So 26. How'd you find the game? because I couldn't for life me think of what his first name was. Anyway, so yeah, kudos to Colin and the boys over there. John Bright, not sure if I still owe you a pint or not, mate. If I do, I'll catch you at the next meetup. So,
I was going to give a shout to John Bright, actually, Bright. He's probably second only to you for, like, amount of effort put in over the meetup. Like, he was out and about the whole time.
Always puts in a shift. Love his work. Did.
And most impressively managed not to be arrested this time. So, yeah. You know, even more credit.
Handcuff free. So, yeah, it was good over there.
Didn't Colin head over to Singapore as well? So he did, like, Singapore, yeah,
those boys,
Melbourne, and put me. That's a great effort.
They did the triple, yeah. John, Colin, and Connor, Colin's son. As did Pete Edwards from here in Brisbane. He did the triple as well. So, yeah, hats off to those boys.
With his frequent flyer scam.
That's amazing. Yeah. A million frequent flyer points because he buys credit cards.
That's it. If the system works, then play on.
That's it. Yes, agree to all of that. All right, so there is a football season starting, though. Last pre-season, we were going to have a manager. It was going to be Nuno Espirito Santo. We weren't going to get. Then we didn't get him. We're going to have Lucien Favre. Then we didn't get him. We eventually got Patrick Vieira, and all things good. So this preseason is going to be smooth sailing. A couple of signings in, a few friendlies. We hit the ground running. Oh no, we split the squad in half. Some go. The under-23s go to Australia with a couple of first teamers. The rest stay at home. Everyone is saying, "What an awful decision! Why do that?" Here at Exide Eagles, and I'm going to come to one person in particular, Mr. Dale Quarty, we've heard different. Dale, is it such a bad thing that the squad was split?
No.
Pray tell why.
Well, let's be honest. People were saying stuff like, oh, Anderson and Gerhi don't get to play together. They haven't forgotten how to play next to each other in the 10 days that we were overseas in Australia and England. Chris Richards wasn't signed. The players here probably were happy that they made a mistake, didn't have Wilf having a go at them. I get it. You want to have team cohesion. And maybe last year we'd have gone, Jesus, that would have been a really bad decision. We had a massive turnover of players and, you know, you're just struggling. This year, however, we haven't turned over too many players. People don't forget how to play against each other. We appreciate, we get it. We know why it's happened. It's because of entry requirements to get into Singapore and England and Australia at the time it was all planned and stuff. So look, it is what it is. The decision was they couldn't pull out of the Australia tour. Too much money had been poured into it. So they had to go. Now, look, people got more game time. Ebbs has played more now in this preseason. Is looking sharper, probably from the fact he's got more minutes under his belt, which he wouldn't necessarily have had if the whole squad was together. And I get it. I know what people are going to say. I know people are going to shout me down. But I just don't think it's as disastrous as people make out. You're not going to forget how to play with each other. Maybe some new combinations won't necessarily get a chance to bed in, and you don't want to be seeing Joel Ward playing as a centre. I get all of that. I understand it. But I just don't think it's quite as bad as we all make out. Experience of a lifetime for some of these young lads who are getting a chance to play with some of the first teamers against a pretty decent Man United side and a pretty decent Leeds side and some pretty awesome stadiums. It's all experience, right? And if you think about it, if they come out here with a full squad, they're probably only going to play like half an hour. Like what Liverpool do in their first pre-season friendly. They changed the team three times, all 11 players, every 30 minutes. So you're going to get the same sort of things. So we've probably got just as much more game time in anyway. That's my view, and that's something I've had a conversation with someone else. Move on.
Okay, we will move on to Tony. Do you agree with Dale? What are your thoughts on the pre-season? Let's just talk about pre-season properly now that not just a squad split, but let's talk about the signing. So Malcolm Eboué, it's Eboué, isn't it? That's how he says it, Eboué.
Well, Chris Grierson told us how it was said, and I still have no idea.
Yeah, I know. So it's Eboué. Yeah, we'll call it Malcolm.
Malcolm.
Sam Johnston, obviously, Cheick Doucouré, and most recently, Chris Richards, who's come on. So what do you think of the whole thing, Tone? How's it look like? And obviously, Eze looking mighty fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty satisfied. I thought Malcolm was probably the highlight of the tour for me. I thought he looked excellent. He looked ready-made. I can't believe he's only played so few games for Derby. And he's a big lad as well, bigger than I was expecting. Put a nice few balls in, so I'm very encouraged to see him. I don't know whether he'll start or not. Signings all seem fine. I think we're still light at fullback. It's the perennial sort of problem, isn't it? But do we think Eze is filling the Gallagher role? Is that what we're expecting?
I think, yeah, he'll play more because Gallagher, I don't think they're going to play him like Gallagher. I think we're going to play slightly differently because obviously Doucouré plays differently to Kouyaté. He's an upgrade in Kouyaté. And I'm expecting probably someone to have like that. At the moment, it's Schlupper, I think, is that box-to-box. But I dare say we're probably going to be in for someone else.
Yeah.
I put it down here as my notes. I actually did some research. New year. Doing some research.
But now I am nervous.
Right. And I just said, like, we haven't replaced Conor Gallagher, but we have Eze back. So regardless of whether he plays in that role or not, there's a player who's got to come in. And I just think that and again, like I said, he's got more game time off the back of what's happened. So anyway, I'm just agreeing with you guys that Eze back, and I think he's gonna make a bit of a difference this year.
Yeah, I didn't see. I just watched the highlights of the Montpellier game. How's Doucouré look? Is he a proper sort of defensive, or is he box to box?
Anyone watch it? I'm not same as you. Yeah, Tom. I saw the highlights.
No, I did watch it. Doucouré, yeah, he's probably more defensive. I think, yeah, the first hour of that game was incredible. I mean, we were talking about, whether or not it was going to affect how the squad had gelled, splitting them up. Well, jeepers. Like, it was they got their two goals late. We'd put the queue in the rack, given up, sent the subs on for the last half hour. It was very much not that fast. The first hour was electric. Every time we got the ball, we thought we were going to score. It was fast-paced. It was attacking. It was just really, really good to see. I don't know if that says more about Montpellier being a bit shit or whether it says that we're superb, but it was just absolutely incredible to watch. We tore them to shreds. I've not seen us tear aside. I know it's only pre-season, but I've not seen us tear aside to shreds like that. ever. It was genuinely superb to watch. So I think, yeah, from that perspective, it was great. Doucouré obviously did his job, but I don't think they necessarily challenged him that much through the middle. It was more about Eze and Zaha in that game, and it was just an absolute clinic from those two. Edouard with a couple of nice finishes, but Eze and Zaha in that game, it was, yeah, ridiculous.
So while I got you there, Ned, what's your thoughts on everything else? I mean, the signings report in, you touched on Doucouré there, you watched him. I mean, I haven't seen him at all play. Oh no, he played 45 minutes in the game against, was it Ipswich? A first one bet or whatever, one of the, when the squad was split, his first game played 45. So I watched that. Yeah, so what's your thoughts on like the preseason as it's been, the signings and how that preparation's gone?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think in terms of, I sort of agree with Dale in terms of we've made the most of a situation that wasn't ideal. I mean, I've seen some of the comments on social media suggesting that it was a deliberate decision to split the squads, which is bollocks. But I think given the situation as it was created, I think we've definitely made the most out of it. I think it's meant that we've had more players getting more game time. So, I mean, usually you'd sit there and you'd see in pre-season, you'd have these players playing for 45 minutes and then you sub them all off. This time, because we had two smaller squads, it was 60 minutes and then sub them off instead of 45. And as a result, I mean, again, only pre-season, so caveat it horrendously and take it with, you know, a massive bag of salt. But Zaha looks as sharp as I've ever seen him in pre-season. He's had some good pre-seasons, but he's just looked unbelievable every time I've seen him play. He has absolutely torn teams to shreds. Eze looks super, super sharp. Ibioe or Malcolm will have, what are we going to say? Will he start? I mean, early on in the season, every chance, because while Elise is still sorting himself out, probably doesn't get in ahead of IU because he won't have the same work rate, but he's got that option of a left foot as well, which is great. Just one to add that basically looked almost like a new signing and very much touching all of the wood that I can find at the moment. Nathan Ferguson, who has managed to get himself through a bit of a pre-season and has looked good and looked sharp in the games that he's been playing. And yes, it feels like we've had him forever and he's been injured forever, but he's still, what, 20, 21? He's still an absolute child. So that's another player to come through. Yeah, it's been as far as a pre-season could go with a split squad, it's been great. And yeah, looking at that Montpellier game afterwards, you wouldn't know that they hadn't played together. And yeah, I watched that game and I finished watching that and came away very excited for the new season.
Excellent. That's a great rundown. What about you, JL Bird?
Who are you talking about?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking to.
JL Bird, he's up. I haven't been had the pleasure of Her Majesty's since school. I've got Nick down there. That was 20-odd something years ago. And then there was a rough night out with a mate. 2015 that we don't need to talk about, but
we really do.
Another time.
My fault. Was not my fault. Pre-season, apart from the two games I watched live, I've really paid no attention at all. Just been fucking flat out of work, man, to be honest, and watching and listening to stuff that is popping up on WhatsApp chats and the odd highlight. I haven't even watched any Commonwealth games yet, which I'm normally mad for. And I know at the moment the host nations are getting absolutely battered by their own penal colony, which is bringing me much joy, as you can imagine. So I've got to catch up on a bit of that. But yeah, the whole splitting the squad thing, they reckon it was, you know, COVID this and this person hasn't been jabbed with that. I suspect that's a bit of BS. I'm not sure, but at the end of the day, I think they have utilised very well the format that they went with. I can only reiterate what Ned said with, you know, guys getting more minutes that wouldn't normally be getting. yeah, Wilf's banged in some worldies already, and Eze's looking good to go. I think Elise's back doing ball work. He's got a bit of an injury, and yeah, look, if Ferguson can finally get up and about and stop doing his best kind of Wickham impersonation, that'd be helpful to the squad. And yeah, so yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, after all this, you know, you can always just fall back and go, what's your preseason? It means nothing. So we'll see, man. We'll see come Saturday morning how that's starting to play out IRL.
Just for the record, you're only 18 medals ahead of England. So it's not an absolute shellacking, and there's a long way to go yet, my friend.
We'll do it per capita, please. Per capita, please.
All changes once the swimming finishes.
Swimming's done, exactly. I went into work, I think, on Tuesday and just said, when is the fucking swimming finish? I've had enough of this.
Mate, it's awesome. It's fucking nothing better than clubbing you lot around the ears. So on your home track, it's even better.
Okay.
Inspirational as always.
18 goals ahead is an absolute fucking drum,
not
my
goals,
friend. So
not gold, medals, not golds, medals.
I can't help but feel like we've been somewhat sidetracked.
Let's mute Werner for starters.
Yeah,
appreciate it. We'll say come Saturday morning, man.
Absolutely. And that's going to be the you know, the turning point. I mean, to be fair, Arsenal look red hot at the moment. I mean, yeah, we beat Montpellier. We scored four in 40, like, was it 4 and 60 minutes? They scored 4 in 20 against Sevilla at home. So it's pre-season, you know, but they're looking red hot. So yeah, time will tell. I mean, with the signings, I don't know anything about Doucouré, but for everything I've heard and read, everyone's like, how the hell did Padis get him? So that can only be a good thing. I think Sam Johnson's is quite a shrewd bit of business. An ex-England goalkeeper on a free. I quite like that one.
He's not ex, mate. He's current. He was in the squad before that, I think.
Yeah, but he's not even. But then he dropped out.
Yeah, he plays. He plays. Yeah. He's in. Because, let's be honest, England goalkeepers, Pickford, Ramsdale, and then you fall off a cliff.
Pope's one of the one, isn't he?
Right, yeah. But he's, again, he was injured for most of last season.
Current keeper?
Yeah. Small arms, looks like a T-Rex.
And I'll tell you what, I agree with Tony. I thought Malcolm looked brilliant against United. He was skinning his bloke, like, time and time again. So, yeah, I think there's lots of reasons to be positive going into the season. And
we're 100% getting relegated with this positivity.
Nah, bollocks, mate. Let's talk when we get to our predictions, which we're going to go to now. None of us are saying we're getting relegated, so that's fine. All right, well, okay, before we get to the predictions, I'm going to throw this at you fellas. So, first five games, Arsenal home, Liverpool away, Villa home, Man City away, Brentford home. So, they're our first five. They're stinkers. It's a stinking start to the season. All right, Ned's going to say we should get 15 points, which he always does, which is great. It was funny the first time. It's still funny now. But, like, what would you be happy with from that return from Arsenal at home, Liverpool away, Villa at home, City away, Brentford at home? Go to you, Mikey Werner. You were last, so you get first throws.
I will go 5 points there.
Happy with five?
Yep.
Yeah, Dale?
I reckon.
I'll take six.
Take six. Yeah, okay. Tone?
I'd be delighted with five. I think four is probably realistic, but I'll take five.
Ned?
A record against big teams last year and with Vieira has been pretty good. I think in terms of what we can get, I think those first five games will be a real tough test. If we're anywhere near five or six, you'd be very happy with it. I mean, if we end those first five games outside the relegation zone, that's a cracking start to the season.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
Bite your hand off for five right now with that. Would
you? Because you think about it. You say Villa, where's Villa? Villa's away?
Villa at home.
Villa at home. All right. Villa I think, flattered to deceive last year. Everyone thinks they were amazing. They were awful at home, and they scabbed a win against us at Selhurst, if I remember correctly. It was like a pretty crap game. And then Brentford, I mean, they were good, then awful. Then Eriksen came in and they were good, and then they weren't great. And they haven't got Eriksen this year. And I don't think I just don't think they're going to be anywhere near as good as they were last year. No. And if we don't win those two games, regardless of, I don't care about, City and what we did last year was brilliant. And that's all great to get those results. If you don't win those two games against Villa and Brentford, you've got to think to yourself, what's going on?
Well, I think realistically, I think we can take 7 to 8 points from those first five. I think that's something we can do. I think six would be winning both of those games and losing
all three, asking.
which would be good. If we don't end up doing that, if you take 4 points from those two games and you snatch a draw against one of the others, that's a more than adequate.
I was told in Melbourne, I am not positive enough, and I'm telling you now, we are going to beat Villa and Brentford and get 6 points done.
I like this new Dale.
Yeah.
Still hates Wilf, though.
Wait till we get to my predictions.
Old habits die hard.
Done of the season.
I certainly hear what you're saying there. We should be looking to beat Villa and Brentford. I'm just kind of gutted that one of the big teams we're playing first isn't Chelsea. So I think they're all over the shop at the moment. Mm. They have no idea. I would love our first game of the season to be Chelsea rather than Arsenal. So I think we can certainly take it.
Because I can guarantee you would lose 2-0 and the goals will be scored by Conor Gallagher and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Done.
Yeah, nothing sure.
Well, they're not. I mean,
like Arsenal. Usually you want to play Arsenal at the start of the season, right? Because they're usually all over the shop as well. It's just annoying we've got them on this red hot.
Not this year.
Nah, there's a real sort of positivity about them, isn't there? It's quite annoying.
Yeah.
Can always just ruin it.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably Arsenal it and we'll smash them. So,
I'm glad we're not playing Spurs first up because their squad's...
Yeah, they've had a blind...
Fairly scary at the minute.
Yeah.
Which is annoying because I've got so many Spurs fans to meet. Oh, God. Anyway, predictions. Let's rock. Okay, let's start with... We are going to start with... Where are we going to finish this season? So let's go to Mr. Positivity, Dale Quarty. We were going to European Tour, Dale.
And we're going to finish 12th.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Well, there goes the air of my balloon.
I don't want to explain everything, but I think we're going to be better than we were last year, but everyone's generally going to be better than last year. And I think 12th is going to be a success and we're all going to be really happy. Done.
I thoroughly disagree with you on that last point, but we'll get to that in a second. Ned, what about you? Where do you reckon we're finishing?
10th or 11th, but just because Dale was being negative, I'll go for 10th.
Beautiful. Tone?
I reckon 13th. I reckon... I just reckon we might just get found out a little bit. We sort of surprised a lot of people last season. I just wonder if we'll get worked out. And I know Vieira hasn't got an amazing sort of second season record. So, 13th.
Well,
13th from TK. That's why it doesn't matter this pod anymore. I am going with 10th. I agree with Dale. I think we'll be a bit better than last season, as will everybody else. So as far as the ladder goes, baby steps, bottom of top half, 10th. Just a footnote on that. I did see today that Fox Sports Australia has us penciled in at 9th. And they normally always poo-poo us. So that's interesting to see them have us in 9th. But 10th for me, boss.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I think this is an unbelievably important season for us. For once, apart from we don't just have Wilf, who's that player that people are interested in. We've got Eze, we've got Gay, you've got Wilf's probably playing his last season for us as well. You got Elise. I'm pretty certain Elise will probably leave in the summer as well for a lot of money. Gay, he'll probably go to the World Cup. So then there'll be clubs wanting after him. Eze has a great season, there'll be clubs wanting after him. So if we don't kick on, why would those players stay? And then we have to do it all again. So I personally think, and on why I disagree with Mark and Dale saying everyone else has got better, I really don't think they have. to be honest with you.
No, I didn't say everyone's got better. I said they're gonna be better. So yeah, everyone's gonna be improving. Everyone's gonna be striving to improve.
Yeah.
So
sounds a lot like a synonym for better.
No, but the point, my point being that if you look at our squad, our team, we haven't really improved it. We haven't brought anyone in who pushes the needle. Who's coming to our squad that pushes the needle, or is going to be in our starting 11 that pushes the needle who wasn't there last year? No one. Like, there literally isn't anyone. We haven't brought in someone who's going to come in and score a new striker. We haven't brought in De Curie is probably the only one who pushes the needle, right? But then you've got to think he's replacing Gallagher in theory, right? In theory, that's the player. And I just think, yes, we're going to be better as a team, but I don't think we've got any more X factor than we had before. Other clubs, he's probably the one that only.
And I would argue potentially Ferguson.
And I'd argue as well that Wilf's getting better and better as a goal scorer as well.
But we're not bringing him in. He's not someone who we don't know about who's going to be. If Wilf is good, everyone will just go, well, Wilf was good for Palace again. No one's going to go, oh, that's a surprise. Like, if Eze is good, we're not all going to sit here and go, stone the crows. Never knew about that Eze guy. Like, you see what I mean? Whereas I think that there will be some teams out there who will have an absolute breakout star, right? And we look at Spurs. The needle has been pushed for Spurs. I know they're not competing with
Spurs.
I know that, but what I'm using them as an example. That needle has been pushed. It definitely has. I just don't feel like we have done that. I think we're going to be absolutely fine. We haven't pushed that needle.
I get what you're saying, and I hear it. But then because I think we're in this clump of clubs now. I don't think we're in the Fulham, Bournemouth, Forest, the bottom feeders. I personally think Everton are down there as well at the minute. I think they're shit. They haven't. I mean, you talk about push the needle. They've still got Lampard. They've signed no one. They're in a lot of trouble. But if you look at that clump of clubs we're in, I'd say you're looking at us, Villa, Leicester, West Ham. Wolves are okay. Southampton are okay.
West Ham.
Look, West Ham. Like, I'll tell you what.
And I
West
think Ham, Southampton.
Yeah. Southampton lower. Leicester. I've got that in my outlandish claims. Leicester to be relegated. They are in trouble.
Exactly. So the best of the rest, Leicester, always traditionally the best of the rest. They won the Premier League. They had the money. They built a squad. The wheels are falling off there. They're in trouble. West Ham are comfortably the best of the rest at the moment. I've got no doubt about it. They're in the top six of the top six. Don't even, as Ned said, we're not competing with them. Even United are in the top six. So the usual ones. Then I'd say it's West Ham. And then I reckon from 8th to 12th is all up for grabs. And I'm going to predict we're going to come 8th or 9th. I'm going to go 9th. I can't say 8th. I think we're going to get 9th. Because it's up for grabs. I think as much as it pains me, I think Brighton are a decent team, especially with Potter as their manager. If he goes, they're stuffed. If he stays, so please God,
mate. No Everton, Kukurea, no Zuma.
They're gone. Good? Is Kukurea that good? I don't even know.
I would put. I reckon Thomas Tuchel and Pep Guardiola know more about you than you. And I reckon he's that good. And he's Bissouma. I think their team is a little bit. I reckon they're going to be on the wobble.
Bissouma's good. I'll give you that.
Anyway, enough of that. Come on, next one.
I think 8th or 9th. Is there? I know I have to give an answer, so I'm going to say 9th, but I wouldn't be surprised if we snag 8th.
What's going to happen here is we're going to finish 8th, and you're going to claim it at the end of the season.
Obviously,
Jesus, told you, boys, 8th all day long.
Obviously, if we finish 7th, I'll say I claim it. I mentioned 7th in my spiel there, so I'm claiming that too. But that's where I think. All right. Top goal scorer. Now, Mark, you can't unfortunately have Connor Wickham no longer at the club. So we'll start with you there, but kind of Connor Wickham. Who's your top goal scorer?
Yeah, that didn't pan out too well for me or Connor, unfortunately. With that, my top goal scorer for the impending season, I'm going for Jean-Philippe Mateta with 12.
Boom. Tone.
Yeah, You have to unmute yourself.
Yeah, sorry, there you go. Yeah, the button didn't work. It's got to be Wilf, I reckon. I think anyone who doesn't vote Wilf off the red.
Do I have to
say how many?
Go on, give it a go.
I got cheeky 15.
You're never going to be more outlandish than like Mark with Wickham and 17, so don't worry. You could have said Wilf and 35 and it would be closer. Go on, Dale.
Wilf, 12.
Ned?
The form he's in at the moment, it's Wilf, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets high teens, close to 20. He has been banging them in for fun. He finally seems to have worked out that when he shoots, he's supposed to hit it between the white posts and into the back of the net. And, some of the goals he's been banging in pre-season and the form he is in, I think this is going to be his biggest season for Palace.
I agree. I'm saying Wilf matches Benteke's 17 and then gets a move to somewhere like Roma or something. Assists. Most assists, Dale. Who's most assists this season?
I did put down Eze. And as we started the pod, I just checked my email and had an email from
Eze, Palace, Jesus Christ.
And they said they're talking about fantasy football. And Michael Olise was involved in 44% of our goals when he played last year. So I think I'm going to have to go with Michael Olise.
Ned?
Wilf. It's going to be a common theme in these first few.
That's doubled up. Marky Mark?
Footnote. I did pick Wilf as leading goal scorer because I just thought everyone else would. That's why I went.
No, you can't have that. I'm not accepting that.
I'm sticking with the 10. I'm just saying. I thought, play the season, everyone's going to go Wilf. Most goals, everyone's going to go Wilf. So I've sort of stepped around that a little bit. But that aside, I think most assists, as A with 11 for me.
11 assists.
11 is big.
Wow.
That's a monster. I think
that's Kevin De Bruyne territory.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure like the last 3 years, our top assists has been like 3.
Yeah, I think four was last year. But Mark, I'll back you in, Mark.
It's less than one every 3 games. He's got it in him.
He does, but we'll see. Tone?
I'm going to go Elise as well. I can't see past that.
I'm going to go Eberici as a... I think. I would have gone at least if his injury record worries me. Like there could be like stretches of games where he just doesn't play.
Gone for the guy who ruptured his Achilles.
I was going to say, as I did for a year, man.
Yeah, but he's come back. He's looking good. But he had a big injury in training. At least he's just had like a niggle here, a niggle there, a niggle here, a niggle there.
And at least he's got a bit more competition this year as well, I think, from old mate Malcolm.
Malks.
He has, but he hasn't. Let's be honest. I mean,
how many, Rob?
How many? Number? Eze? I'll give you 7. I'm not going to go nuts and say something stupid like 11 or something.
I'll go legs 11, mate.
I don't think I went the number of assists for Wilf either. So I'll just pop the 6 in for him.
Yeah. I'll go 6 for Elise.
I'll go 7, Elise.
I like it. All right, so who is going to be Crystal Palace Football Club's player of the season, Tony?
Hold on, before we do this, can we clarify? Is it players, player, or fans, player?
Because I got both last year. The player of the season.
As judged by exiled Eagles at the end of the season.
I think it's going to be Elise as well. I think just the fans absolutely love him. And just if he gets a full season under his belt, just any excuse to give it to him. So I reckon Elise.
John Dale, you going to name the team again?
I've gone Wilfred Zaha.
Well, you can blow me over.
I'm glad you finished that sentence with over.
I mean...
Family-friendly podcast.
Oh. Dale's muted himself because he was that excited.
He's just in shock. I believe the words came out of his mouth.
Nor can I. I mean, Christ. Mark, how do you follow that bombshell? I just don't know what you do.
Yeah. Well, I think if he can clean up his potty mouth around the kids on the sideline, Elise, going to be our player of the season. Again, I think Will. I mean, obviously, my heart says Joel Ward, but my head says Zaha. For the sake of variety on the podcast, I'm going with Elise.
Ned?
I've given him top goals and top assists, so it'd be a bit silly to then suddenly say someone else is going to be player of the season. So I'll stick with Wilf and Joel Ward to win the Joel Ward Award.
That's a good shout.
He's a hot favourite.
I think he's a certainty.
He has opened as early favourite with the bookings at the start of the season. I'm going to be different. I'm going to say Mark Gahey is going to be our player of the season.
Yeah, nice.
All right. Dud of the year. Now, this is where I was expecting Dale to say Wilfred Zaha. So that's completely completely thrown me. So let's go straight to Dale with his dud of the season.
Jimmy Mack.
Oh.
Just think that we're not going to see much of him, and age might have finally caught up with him. Yeah, that's why. Jimmy Mack.
I mean, it's a harsh thing to say, like dud of the season, maybe like disappointment of the season. Because then...
No, keep it strong. Keep it strong.
Okay.
The player who didn't come first.
Yeah.
That's saying primary schools, something like that.
That's how my sporting career's gone. Go on, Marky Mark. Who's your
and probably your dud? Love life?
married with two kids, I haven't you know.
Well, not if you start blowing him, Dale. But anyway. Well, my dud, it is a bit harsh, and I'm still gasping for breath here that J-Mac's been thrown on the bus there by Dale. I've kind of got two answers. The obvious one that I thought everyone would say, which would be Luca, I think might have that mantle. But, yeah, I also thought, just out of left field, Richards, just no good, mate. Back to the MLS or wherever. I know he didn't come from the MLS, but yeah. I reckon he might just be an absolute fizzer and everyone just left scratching the head going. So that's why we got someone from Bayern Munich.
Go back to where you came from.
Well, your words, not mine, but yeah.
TK?
Well, this is kind of controversial because it depends how you define dud, but I reckon
very bad. Will not perform.
Well, okay, all right then. That kind of throws me because I think Vinny G is going to come under a bit of pressure this season because I know how Palace fans love a player who's not playing. They always think they're actually better than they are. And I think there's Sammy Johnston on the bench. A couple of mistakes from Vinny G and people are going to be calling for his head. So I think he might be under a bit of pressure. So I don't know if that defines dud, but...
It's a good call. I think it was said last year. I think that he was not on the wane per se, but not as good as maybe people made out. So
yeah,
I believe that was said very early on by a certain couple of people on here.
He wasn't sporting the blonde highlights up in Perth either. So
sensible,
going to come into play.
Sensible. At least then they won't know where to put corners right onto his head. So that's a good idea.
Here we go. Yeah, Ned?
Well, I think if it's absolute dud, I have to go with Mark and say Luca, as I do every year. But if we're going with a more disappointing one, I'll stick with my target from the day he signed of Odson Edouard.
Okay. For me, I mean, there's always the two standouts are always Luca and Jordan Ayew, really, aren't they? So, but I'm not going to go down that way. I'm going to say Jean-Philippe Metetti.
Top goal scorer.
Tell you what, I looked to pull out your text. You said when he scored a goal, and you went, oh, have we found an extra 15, 20 goal striker for us? And six months later, you're calling him a dud.
Are
you suggesting that Rob would change his mind? Tony?
I just said I didn't think Mateta looked great in pre-season.
Mateta doesn't look great ever, though. He does score goals.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll give him that. Like everything about him just looks really, really awkward. Technically, he's a Sunday league footballer, technically, but he just happens to position himself in a spot and can finish a bit.
I get
that he gets away with it, but on a technical level, geez, he looks awful.
Mm-hmm. I get
Blackpool 2022. Have we found a Premier League striker for about 8 million? Rob is now saying no.
There we go. I asked the question, I've answered it. There we are. But yeah, like, I've watched him a bit and he still looks knackered after 15 minutes. And have you seen, like, people used to take the piss out of Lukaku's first touch, but Lukaku is also a beast in front of him. Mateta's first touch, like, who knows? I mean, Toblerone leg, let alone food.
I said this at the meetup, and I genuinely believe it. If Jean-Philippe Mateta and I were to have a first touch competition, I genuinely think I would win. I think he would. I think he would beat me at everything else because I'm incredibly slow, unfit, and can't finish. But if it's a first touch competition, I 100% am backing myself in.
He did offer to take a photo of me and Jack Butland, though, which is quite nice of him. So,
well,
I didn't say he wasn't lovely. I love him.
I'm just saying.
Let me take that back. Let me take it all back. You know, yeah, he's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So now that was the fun stuff. This is the thing that I nail like perfectly. I did two Outlanders predictions last year. And they came flying in. I mean, flying in. So, Outlandish prediction for this season. We're going to start with Mark. What is your outlandish prediction for this season?
All right. Well, apart from the Aussie Battler Award that we mentioned earlier, I've left Joel alone with all these predictions of what's going to happen this season. But my outlandish prediction, he's going to come in hot, Big JW, and I think he's going to score us a League Cup goal. The first one since about 1997.
I quite like that. What's yours, TK?
Well, mine is fucking outlandish, bearing in mind I've got him as both my top assist scorer and player of the season. But my outlandish prediction is that Elise is at Newcastle in January.
Oh. That means he's having a great first 6 months.
Yeah, right. <predictions together. laughs>
And he's cost them like 100 million.
Yeah.
Dale, what's your outlandish prediction?
I actually got four.
One of
which I already mentioned, which is Leicester to be relegated, not Palace related. I think this is very outlandish. 30 plus appearances for Nathan Ferguson this season in League and Cup. Sam Johnson to be our number one goalkeeper by Christmas, and Wilf to be at Brighton on a free transfer.
Fucking all the team.
To support our forehead like that.
Don't play with my emotions like that.
Yeah, last one's an absolute piss take, obviously. But yeah. You better not go there.
I mean, he'd retire if it came back, wouldn't he? Like, fuck it, I'll just hang him up. Not if I'm playing for them.
Unless he was going in as Agent Wilf.
Yeah, Ned, what's yours?
I mean, I hate saying this, but Dale's actually taken one of mine, and it was the one about Nathan Ferguson. To not necessarily have that certain number of appearances, but I was going to say to go the season uninjured, which is about as outlandish as I think I can get. But since as Dale's taken that one, I'm going to have to come up with something different. And let's take a leaf out of Mark's book from last year. FA Cup quarterfinals, we will be eliminated by Manchester City on penalties, and Wilf will miss the important penalty, which he will just miss the entire goal.
And then he'll go to Brighton on the free.
Yeah, I'm not going that far. But knocked out in the quarterfinals by Manchester City on penalties, with Wilf missing the important penalty. That will be my outlandish one, along with Nathan Ferguson to go uninjured for the whole season.
I think Nathan Ferguson could be one of those players that really benefits from this 5-sub rule. Mm. Like, he can get a lot of appearances, and like, you know, just get him on the field at some point if we're 3-0 up or 4-0 down or whatever. He just kind of comes on the pitch and all of a sudden kind of gets up to speed like that. So yeah, it's not bad. I mean, my outlandish prediction is one that Pochettino replaces Tuchel at Chelsea within the first 2 months of the season. But the Palace one is, and this is quite wide, so I'm going to leave this open to the jury here whether you accept it, but there'll be a Palace player, whether it be Premier League or on loan, in a team of the season. So whether it be like, so for example, Ed Romola in the Championship team of the season, or a Pettis player in the Premier League team of the season, if Rexecki goes to League One, he'll make the team of the season. There'll be a Crystal Pettis contracted player in the team of the season this year.
If you'd said there was going to be a Palace player in each league's team of the season, but I mean, that is a very, very wide prediction.
But in saying that, we've only got one player on loan at the moment. I'm not including Scotland.
Isn't Rexecki? No, Adam Romola's on loan. Someone else has gone on loan to League One somewhere.
Rexecki's talking to Chelsea.
No, not Rexecki. Someone else has gone on league to League One.
Yeah, Adam Romola.
No, he's at Coventry in the Championship.
Oh, Championship, sorry, yeah.
My second team, Colv.
There you go.
I was watching them the other day and popped their random song on YouTube when my mate was here. It's an absolute banger. I'll give them that.
Awful city. Unrelated. Don't go.
Huh. Yeah, so my prediction is there's a contracted Pettis player in a team of the year for that particular league.
I preferred your predictions last year.
My predictions last year were literally nail on head.
Which is why it's disappointing you haven't tried to back it up this year. But that's okay. It's their own.
I mean, I think Dale probably. I reckon Dale's 50-50 for the national meeting at South Australia.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is on because we got to meet the White Whales down in Melbourne, which is the. Some members of the Adelaide supporters group, Richard and co, down there. They're on board.
All right. I think
Mark's talking. But
yeah, he is talking, but I thought he finished, but I think he's sort of cut himself off with his audio.
Yeah.
If he jumps back in, he can go for it. But I was going to say, do you want me to run through a bit of a highlights package of our other predictions? Ladder prediction wise, most people have got us in that same region that we identified of sort of 9th to 12th or 13th ish. A couple of standouts. Alex from Sydney has said 7th. And we've got from one of Mark's crew up in Brisbane, and he's made it as challenging as possible for me to follow who these predictions come from. But it is Trevor Stone has said 17th, just avoiding relegation, which is a nice positive one there. And I'm also going to stick with Trevor's predictions. I might have to come back to them once Mark's back. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, I can hear you, mate. Because
he's also put Joel Ward as his dud of the year. And I just feel like we need to probably get a reaction. I mean, if you'd just like to just throw some general abuse at this stage, Mark, I'll open the floor.
Currently up here, there's 431 members of the Brisbane supporters group. Happy to make that 430.
Fantastic. He's also said that Patrick Vieira is going to be at Arsenal by the end of the season. So there's some interesting ones there. In terms of goals, most people have gone for Wilf. There's a couple of Edwards thrown in there. Another for Mateta. Goals all seem to be in the, mid-teens-ish for those that have thrown them in. Eze is a very popular pick for assists. Elise's also picked up a couple of nominations. Player of the season, once again, all the usual suspects. I can't see anyone here who's thrown in a really left field prediction. We've got staying with Trevor from Brisbane. He's thrown Decore in for a player of the season. There's Connor Gallagher's got himself a nomination for player of the season, which is a bold one. Also coming in from Brisbane with, I believe that is Richard Nicholas. Apologies if I've got that wrong. Mark has sent me all of their predictions and then sent me a list of 1 to 7 of who's who. So if I allocate you the wrong prediction, I apologise in advance, but it's our podcast. You're not on it, so you can just deal with it, really.
That's the way to win listeners.
That's how we win listeners over, absolutely.
They're pretty wild predictions up in Brisbane, by the sounds of it, anyway.
Jeez. Yeah, duds, we've got a couple for Richards. We've got one for Malcolm. Also coming from Richard Nicholas, so he's got a couple of bold ones there.
But the fun ones obviously are outlandish ones, so I'll read out a few of them in full. Giordo has gone with the Adelaide meetup to happen. which is bold. Alex in Sydney has gone for Eze to be called up for the World Cup in November. We've got a couple that have said Patrick Vieira to Arsenal by season's end. Given how on fire they are, that's the only positive of that that I'm thinking makes that seem unlikely, because that would mean Arteta would have to be shipped out. Gallagher returns from Nick Lloyd. Scott has said that Shawnee Robb will get another Palace tattoo, which is obviously a bold one. Sorry, I've just missed one. I'm tuning back for a dud of the year. Shawnee Robb on the topic has said Anderson is going to be our dud of the year, replaced by Richards after the World Cup.
No.
Very bold. He's also gone with a league position of 12th, despite giving us a league prediction at the national meetup of 14th.
I remember that. He had 1,000 CC and dries, though. So
yeah, it was possible that he wasn't the most so, but he also says we'll win the League Cup, knocking out City and Liverpool along the way. Maybe
every prediction is an outlandish prediction from Shawnee Robb.
It's true. As I said, Gallagher to return, Zaha to leave, Palace to beat no top six teams and beat every side that gets relegated. Paris sells to a Simon Jordan-led consortium involving Ian Wright, Roy Hodgson, and Glenn Murray.
Some goals.
That's a good one. Zaha and Vieira gone by season's end. The reason I say this is things have been going too well for too long, and it's not Palace unless there's a catastrophe around the corner. Nice bit of positivity there coming from one of Mark's Brisbane crew. Another one for Ferguson.
You feed him up there, Mark.
I know. Another one. Ferguson plays more than 50% of the season. Kiate stays. And Joel Ward bangs in more than one header. So that's a
sure thing.
There.
Nothing outlandish about that.
No, that one's a sure thing. League Cup's ours. Wolf leaves at Christmas when we're top three. And Harry from Brisbane to buy a drum, start up a splinter group of the Homestyle Fanatics, and soon everyone will want to be a part of the White Horse Lane Wallies. And that is where we will leave the outlandish predictions for the upcoming 2023.
It's where we should leave everything.
White Horse Lane Wallies. Yes, so.
That's great.
Full credit to whoever sent that one through. Again, Mark can probably let you in. It's one of, I think, potentially Pete Edwards or someone along that line.
Well, I did list them. Unfortunately, when I forwarded those things, their names didn't appear with it. So my numbering 1 to 7 of the names are correct. That's for you to collate.
Okay. Well, technically, I think it might be Pete Edwards, but we'll leave it be.
Well,
apologies if I've gotten any of those names and allocated any of them incorrectly for the Brisbane crew. But as I said, blame Mark and deal with it. Feel free to get all over us on our socials so that we get as much engagement as possible and it pops up so that we gain an extra 4 listeners. Shameless plug time at Exiled Eagles on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify. We're getting quite a collection these days. Not always updated.
Beautiful. Right. If you enjoy this, guys, sign up to the Patreon for, there's 7 extra pods a month. as if we could ever have a patron for this shit.
That's to get our OnlyFans page as well.
That's just Mark's pictures of Joel Ward, so don't sign up for that.
And Dale giving off rants about players on request.
Look, I think I've been really good today.
Yes, I'll tell you, Dale, you can have a waste bar at the end. Reward yourself with a waste bar. You've done brilliantly.
Thank you.
Well done. So, guys, I think just like Palace will on Friday, we've hit the ground running. That is red hot form for us. Well done, all. So, Tony, great to have you on the pod again, mate. Thank you for joining. Dale, you can go to bed now. I'm sorry we've bored you so much. Mark, get home safely. Ed, good to see you, buddy. So, all that's left to say is, enjoy the game on Saturday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Beautiful. And up the Palace.
So we know now, are you going to bother getting up for it or?
I'll be waking up about 8. I'm in the Hunter Valley with the missus, so wake up about 8, put the game on about 8:30, and then we'll go for brunch. Right. That's how I'm doing it.
Who said romance is dead?
That's it. That is it.
Absolutely wankered by 12.
So had I, but I'm doing some good Hunter Welly Vine. Hunter Welly Vine.
Started it already by the sounds of it.
This isn't water, my boy.